AT&T Radio wants you to get on our soapbox because your opinion matters. Tell us what you really think at tntradio.live. Upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's soapbox, lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk Radio. TNT.
Anti-vaxxer nurse who injected up to 8,600 elderly patients with salt water instead of COVID non-vaccine walks free from court in Germany. In a related story, hero nurse who injected up to 8,600 elderly patients with salt water instead of COVID vaccine potentially saved up to 8,600 lives. Aunt JT, a Red Cross nurse, had substituted saline for the BioNTech Pfizer clot shot death jab. And she was caught out after a month when some Karen who worked with her reported her for filling the vials with saline instead of the gene jab. She was found guilty of counts, 15 counts of intentional assault. She was charged with 15 counts of intentional assault. 9 of them were dropped due to no evidence. She apologized in court, which is unfortunate. She never should have apologized for being a hero. A heroine. But she was found guilty of 6 charges, but she was allowed to leave the court, which is good. The verdict can also be appealed within a week. We need more and more and more and more and more doctors, nurses, technicians, EMTs standing up and saying, no, not going to do it. Nope, done. You know, that's how the mask mandate was ended at Louisiana State University. Students just said no. The most powerful word in the English language is no. Most powerful word in the Russian language is нет. Most powerful word in the French language is non. The negative imperative is the most powerful word in any language. Just say no. Nancy Reagan wasn't wrong. They mocked her for urging teenagers to just say no to drugs back in the 1980s. That's so 1950s. Of course, teenagers are going to do drugs, Nancy. Cha. How can you tell them to just say no? Don't you know everybody does drugs? Every single person on the planet smokes weed. Just say no. And watch them not know whether to flip or fly. At first, they'll get outraged. And they're impotent little soy rage.
I'm going to take your paycheck.
Well, that's why we've got redballoon.com. That's why we've got a lot of employers that are going to hire you anyway.
We're going to kick you out of your residency, even though you're the chief resident, and even though you got better board scores than anybody in the history of the program, including us.
My good friend Christina just said no. And guess what? They caved. The saddest thing for me about the entire scamdemic was how many people they killed. The second saddest thing for me about the scamdemic was how many people just showed how weak they are. I mean, weak tea.
You must do this.
Oh, okay.
You must wear a mask.
Oh, okay.
You must walk only one direction down the supermarket aisle.
Oh, okay.
So I'd walk in like a boss, no mask, and walk the opposite way that the stickers on the floor told me to. It's amazing how few people notice that all those stickers appeared overnight in every supermarket in the country. Do you know how long it would take to print that many stickers? Do you know how long it would take to ship that many stickers to all the stores? And people think it was just spontaneous? Come on. It was as spontaneous as the pallets full of bricks that were left conveniently near Antifa fascist and BLM racist riot sites. I'm Timothy Shea. You're listening to The Reckoning.
Talking the talk.
I like the conversation.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
My guest this hour, the inestimable Brian McLean. Hey, Hesher, how you doing?
What's up, Timothy? How are you, man? I'm good over here.
I'm hanging fire. Do you feel like the tide is starting to turn?
I got to tell you, I just spent the last 56 minutes watching Kanye West on InfoWars, and I don't even know how to analyze or respond to the piece of media that I just consumed. It was I was just on the phone with Joseph Arthur about it. I'm talking with Adam Clark about it and rolling it around through my team. And everybody's just like, I don't even know what to say about that. It really threw me. He broke the Overton window completely. As Joseph said, he just started laying it all down, and like with just the amount of theatrics involved with it too, like, you know, the artistic performer in him was in in full sync with the whatever you want to call his philosophy right now, you know, which, well, I know what to call it. It's an anti-New World Order philosophy. And that's what he seems to be expressing. And wow, I mean, the Twitter is lit up right now. Twitter is I think he broke the internet. I guess that's what I'm saying, is Kanye went on Alex Jones's show and broke the internet today. And I think that goes back to your question in the sense that, yes, I do. The tide is changing. The winds are shifting here. And people are all over the place. They're starting to realize, well, wait a minute. Why is it, certain groups of people can't be criticized? And what is going on in Hollywood? And what is going on in music? And what is going on in media? And what is the difference between captured alternative media, stuff that looks like alternative media, that's really corporate media pretty much, and true independent media, you know? So people are starting to ask themselves these questions really hard right now. And worldviews are being challenged, very, very greatly. You know, I think we've gone way beyond the what's up with all these stickers on the floor and where did they come from. By the way, I totally agree with you. I had the same assessment. I was like, man, if I would have known these were going to be a thing, I would have invested in
would've started a sticker
stocks.
Company.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Gaslights are us.
Right. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No, it's crazy right now. You know, where is this all going? You know, I had Burton Brink on the show with me today, and you know, he was running it for an assembly position out in California, and you know, I asked him, well, what's the postmortem on your campaign? And he, you know, he basically told me how it went. You know, he didn't win, and he's in one of those areas where they have. Primarily it's an Asian demographic, and he said basically the Asians here, that they only vote for other Asians, and no matter what, and the candidate that he was running against is like a card carrying Marxist, you know, socialist type of person, like an admitted socialist, and he's just like, I don't know what to do. And, you know, and then I said, well, what do you think about this election integrity stuff? I mean, obviously there are these like demographic areas, these almost like tribalized parts of California, which is in and of itself, I find very interesting, because it's like, it's almost like a prison dynamic in the sense that there are no, you know, I won't say there's no more Republicans and conservatives there. There's lots of them, but the power center is all Democrats, Marxists, socialists, progressives. And
well, it's because the GOP rolled over and let them institute jungle primaries.
Oh, totally. Totally. And it's gone completely like a political Lord of the Flies over there. So you've got all the like all these groups are Democrats, but they're all trying to get power amongst each other from each other. So you've got that's what all the redistricting is and the city council recordings that were racist city council recordings, all this stuff. It's like racial prison gangs all in the same, you know, Democrat sphere, but they're all fighting each other for power.
Yeah, New York Democrat Party is the same way. People are like, wait, why are Democrats fighting each other? It's because they're crabs, right? They're all crabs
left
in a bucket.
To fight.
And if anybody doesn't know what I mean by crabs in a bucket, if you look at a bucket of crabs, like Maryland blue crabs, and one crab starts to crawl out of the bucket, the other crabs will literally pull that crab back down into the bucket, right? Instead of saying, hey, Steve's making a break for it. Maybe we can make a break for it too. Steve's got to come back into the bucket with everybody else. Yeah. And that's what happens. And it's funny because if you look at California, everybody talks about California. And you know, I've got some great friends out there. They're solid conservatives. If you look at a county by county map of California, there's like a thin Chilean strip 15 or 20 miles in from the coast that's solid Democrat. And the rest of the state, pretty much, except for Sacramento, which is an outlier, the rest of the state is Republican.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, you know, counties in Oregon have just voted to go with Idaho, right? And so I think that makes five counties now. And I think that five counties triggers the referendum. Mm-hmm. If five counties want to leave the state, they can have a state referendum. And there's been talk about splitting California into two states, north and south, splitting it just above Napa Valley, which is still, believe it or not, one third of California. Everybody thinks that San Francisco and Napa are at the top of the state. It's like, no, they're only two thirds of the way out.
It takes about 6 hours to get up to the top of the state from there.
Yeah. But if you took San Francisco, Marin County, right? You started there and you went down 15 or 20 miles inland, all down through, sorry, Santa Barbara, you're going to have to be in Chile, California. But if you did that all the way down to San Diego, then you'd have a state with more population than New York that would be Republican, solidly Republican, right. Ronald Reagan Republican.
Yeah, the United States is, people have been moving ever since the COVIDocracy hit and the pandemic industrial complex had the red carpet rolled out for it. So people have been voting with their feet.
I love that, the pandemic industrial complex. I'm stealing that, brother.
You can, but I got to give credit to Brian Berletic. He's the one that first said that, and I picked it up from him. So it's definitely a good one to keep around because it was like that. It was like, this happened, and then boom, all of a sudden there's a whole brand new wing of the pharmaceutical and medical industrial complex, like a combination of it, but it had a political wing and an enforcement wing also associated with it and a technological wing. So you kind of just have to call it its own sort of industrial complex. But what was I talking about? I forgot. I don't remember.
Oh, we were talking about California.
Oh, yeah, California. It's a mess. It's an absolute mess. What can I say?
It's run by Democrats. What do you expect?
Oh yeah. Here's what I was leading towards is as the United States, so many people have left these places with a grudge. You know, they've left these places with a grudge, and the places that they're going to, they don't want to see turned into the place that they left. So There's gonna reach a point in this country, since our voting system is now broken, since mail-in voting has broken the voting system and left us with a single-party rule.
By design.
We're in trouble. Yeah, by design. You damn tootin'. And so people are needing to think at this point about exactly that, like breaking off counties and joining other states and, you know, stopping acceptance of federal funds for things and figuring out how to be self-sufficient. Like, that's going to have to happen if these things aren't fixed, because people aren't going to just sit around after leaving, you know, the states that they loved previously, because they're now captured and running roughshod over them, without trying to make sure that where they go is better and they actually can achieve the freedom that they went there for.
Well, we hope so. My friends in Texas and Florida are pretty worried. It's like, okay, you're welcome, but keep your voting patterns at home. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
You should hear what Jason Allborn is talking about.
Arizona, watch the water. We were told, weren't we? Carrie Lake, if she doesn't become governor, she may well become vice president in 2024. Yep, you heard it here first. She's almost a certainty now to pair with Trump. She is something else, and everyone who sees how she works knows that she is a politician in waiting, a politician you will not want to mess with. And you can just imagine how she's going to debate against Kamala Harris and put an end to Kamala's career, almost as if Tulsi Gabbard is in the room with her, like she did in the primaries, of course, and made Kamala Harris give up the run to be president. Now, in Arizona, there are now four counties that have refused to certify the election. And this has caused a whole lot of friction. And a volunteer attorney for the Lake campaign has contacted one of the attorneys in charge, who has then got short, threatened, swore, and accused the inquirer of threatening him. So where there is smoke, there is fire. And Carrie Lake is just one of the warriors fighting for all of this.
Jason Allborn and Jason Q. Citizen on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment. This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Far-left Brazilian Supreme Court orders banks to block funds of businessmen who supported the protesters and mass democracy rallies. Sounds like Canada, doesn't it?
The federal government has invoked the Emergencies Act.
Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Hesher, have you been following what's going on in China?
Yeah, I have. And it strikes me that Our media, our mass media here in the West, I mean, I think everybody's noticing this, but it's still worth just driving home. They did everything they could to tell us that the protests that we had here in the West, you know, in the UK, in Germany, in Canada, here in the United States, during COVID lockdowns and vax passports and vax mandates, they did everything they could to demonize all of the protesters. Trudeau went full, you know, jackboot and sent thugs, thugs from across Canada in masks to go out there and do physical violence on protesters.
Sabotage trucks,
take people's money, freeze people's accounts. I mean, and then call and then demonize them, arrest them, call them racists, call them deniers, call them QAnon people, everything they could throw at them. And now, and the media helped and played along with that and said it was okay. And now they want to tell us, oh, look how terrible it is, what's going on in China. And look how terrible it is that's going on in Iran. Well, we'll tell you just a little tiny bit about that. We don't want to make too big a deal.
If they even tell you anything about what's going on in Iran, exactly.
Exactly. So it's just like enough to have a minor virtue signal there and minor virtue signal for the insanity going on in China. If we can even take all that stuff at face value, I really, it's difficult for me to take in Chinese media without grains of salt here and there because of all the chicanery that happened when COVID came out. So, you know, it's, but yeah, if they're really welding people into their houses and houses are burning down, you know, buildings are burning down and they're putting people, these pictures of the giant camps are true. And, you know, we're in big trouble because when it comes right down to it, during a time like right now, the mainstream media will be happy to tell us, look halfway across the planet and look how bad this is. This sucks, guys, right? Be upset about it for a couple of days till we come up with something new for you. But next time the WHO calls a pandemic here, we've just, in this country, allowed our election to be stolen and allowed our people to have a psychological operation run against them and a fear campaign run against them for going on 3 years now that is going to allow our government and our Fortune 100 and all these, you know, ghoulish corporations and the medical system to do the same stuff to us next time they deem it, you know, a pandemic or whatever, you know, climate emergency or a financial emergency. They're brewing all these things up under us.
Of course they are. And the sad thing to me is that half the country or more even still thinks that Putin's the bad guy in Ukraine. It's like, no, he's not. We are.
Yeah.
Ukraine's our mess. We've been using Ukraine as a proxy since 2014. And I ask people, assume the Soviet Union were still intact and that the Warsaw Pact was still active. How would you feel if we agreed that Warsaw Pact would never be on the Western Hemisphere, and then all of a sudden, Cuba's in the Warsaw Pact, Mexico's in the Warsaw Pact, and we're talking about Canada joining the Warsaw Pact? How would you feel about that? Because that's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know, Ukraine is Canada. There's like a 1,700 kilometer border with Ukraine and Russia. And then I asked them, if it's true that Putin's the bad guy here, how come every piece of video and every story that has come out of Ukraine has been a lie? To the point where a video game manufacturer sued ABC, CBS, NBC, and the other news outlets that used a clip from one of its video games and touted it as the Ghost of Kyiv, the brave pilot who downed Russian MiGs. No, it was literally video game footage. And yes, folks, if you don't game, they are that good now.
They are.
Yeah, I mean, watching, playing EA Sports is like going to an NBA game now with the graphics.
It's amazing.
But
I know.
You know, we're not. You got to go back and watch Oliver Stone's two documentaries, Ukraine on Fire and was it Remembering Ukraine's the second one, I think?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, Oliver Stone's no conservative. He's not a conspiracy theorist in that way that you mean. But I have great hope for what's going on in China here. And here's the beautiful thing. You know, I'm old enough to remember when it seemed like the Soviet Union was indomitable, right? And what a huge victory it was for our young college upstarts to defeat the Soviets in the Olympic semifinals up in Lake Placid, which was about 100 miles north of me. Because it seemed like they were never going to lose anything. And literally, all of a sudden, overnight, bam, the Berlin Wall fell, and the next thing we knew, the Soviet Union was no more. And the Berlin Wall was the Berlin Wall until all of a sudden it wasn't. It took one night. There were protests, and then all of a sudden, one night, boom, the wall comes down. And what people don't realize is when they built the wall in the early 60s, the East Germans had soldiers there with rifles guarding the construction of the wall, and the rifles as we learned after the Soviet Union fell, weren't loaded. They were so afraid that everybody in West Berlin was going to say, oh, hell no, and go in and stop. It was just a show of force. It was a bluff. But once again, freedom was weak. It's like freedom is weak until all of a sudden we've had too much, and then wham, right? You know, the United States doesn't do anything for 2 years. Doesn't even help out Great Britain that much during the Blitz. We sent them some planes on a lease lend deal because we promised not to fund their war effort. And all of a sudden, we get punched in the face almost 3 years into the war. People don't realize that. World War II was going on almost 3 years by the time Pearl Harbor happened. And then we come in, and then 2.5 years later, it's over. But I see a beautiful synchronicity in China. I had my friend Jason Jones on, human rights activist. He's been very involved protecting the Uyghurs, advocating for the Uyghurs. Jason and I are both Roman Catholic, and he's a beautiful soul. If you don't know who he is, go check out Vulnerable People's Project. He helped get a lot of Christians out of Afghanistan after O'Biden. How was that for a slip of the tongue? After O'Biden abandoned them. But just like the Soviet Union, I was saying when Jason was on the show, I said, you know, I think it's going to happen fast. I think it's going to happen overnight. Tiananmen Square happened because the protests weren't originally protests, right? They were mass remembrances for one of the Chinese leaders who had just passed away. And everybody's there, you know, with the candles and the whole thing, remembering the leader who just died. And then people were all in Tiananmen Square, and the Forbidden City is ginormous, right? I think it's like twice the size of Central Park. It's absolutely huge. So you've got literally millions of people, and all of a sudden they're able to talk to each other. Hey, doesn't it really suck what the government's doing? Yeah, it really sucks what the government's doing. And all of a sudden they turn into protests. And then they bring out the tanks. And then we had one brave Chinese stand in front of the tanks. He stood up and he said no. Well, guess what she has to deal with right now, Hesher? Zheng Zemin, who was the Chinese leader after Tiananmen, just died at 96. So now, does he prohibit remembrance ceremonies for Zheng Zemin? Or does he permit them and risk greater protests that can bring down his regime? China is like a Nazi concentration camp, right? Everybody says, why didn't the Jews just, like, there were 10 guards for every 1,000 inmates. Why didn't they just run them over? It's the same kind of thing. The number of Chinese party officials in China is an infinitesimal percentage of one percentage point of all Chinese. I've known a lot of great Chinese people. They hate what's going on in their country. They hate the communists. They hate the party. I think it's only a matter of time before freedom wins there.
That's quite the pickle they've got themselves in there. Good one, G. I wonder what you're going to do about that. Yeah, and what's up with their military? I saw an article recently, and they were saying that they could mobilize 200 million military men. Do you think that's bluff and bluster? Can they really raise that big of an army?
Yeah, sure. That's 1.3 billion people.
So would that, if this were to go down, what do you think the military response would look like in China? That's something I really have no clear, like, thought on or opinion of. I don't know how that would look, you know, because I wonder about that here too, because we're looking at, you know, a similar sort of awakening here in the United States. And, you know, how's that going to work?
Why do you think Obama gutted
military?
Yeah, why do you think Obama gutted the NCO and flag officers of Patriots? right? The question was, will you follow an order to fire on American citizens? And if you said no, you were gone, right? Yep. That was back in 2012. So, and Obama's doing this, or Biden is doing the same thing with the jab. He's using the jab to weaken the military. I mean, Milley and Austin are trying to weaken our military. That's why the whole transgender push, it's a morale buster for the troops. Guys are leaving en masse.
Yep.
One of my friend's son is a captain, promotable to major. And instead of taking the promotion to major, he's leaving.
I don't blame him.
No.
Why would you want to stick around?
It's intentionally weakening the military because they're afraid of exactly that.
Right. No, they've totally, it's a wreck. It's a total wreck, you know? And I really feel for people in, you know, that are in the military right now. It is just, it's completely not the military that it was pre-2012. It is not the same at all.
And I want to get back to Kanye for a little bit. The only thing I wish he hadn't done is go there with talking about Jews, because it doesn't matter that there are a lot of powerful Jews and lawyers and that are lawyers in an entertainment industry and et cetera, because they're not acting the way they're acting because they're Jews. They're acting the way that they're acting because they're globalists. Right? It's an up-down thing. You don't need to bring religion into it. In fact, a lot of my Jewish friends say, you know, these people aren't really Jews. They're Khazarians. It's like, have you seen Hunters on Amazon Prime?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
Okay, I won't give you the plot twist, but Al Pacino is a Jewish Nazi hunter, and he's got a whole team of Jewish Nazi hunters. It's a phenomenal series.
Interesting.
With a massive plot twist at the end, right? So
interesting.
I think I've got some friends that think that Kanye has been controlled opposition all along, that he was sent to get close to Trump to discredit us, because now I see Kanye's an anti-Semite and all Republicans, all MAGA's anti-Semites, they're all racist, white nationalists, bop. I don't think that's it. I think Kanye, gotta love him, I think he does have some mental health problems, but you gotta wonder how many of the mental health problems have been induced. Did you see that text he got from his trainer?
Yeah, I did, you know, and I actually think that his mental health is probably better than it's ever been. They had him in the Stanford Center back in like 2015 or something like that. And, you know, they convinced him that he was bipolar. And that's the same place that Britney Spears has been and a number of other people who have exhibited.
Yeah, probably Lindsay Lohan, right?
Yeah, I believe she was. There's a number of them, and many of them have exhibited strange behaviors and come out and tried to tell a story and then have that story be, you know, called crazy or whatever. And I think that some of these people are, I don't want to say not as eloquent, but it's difficult for them to get the message across. And, you know, with regards to, you know, his comments about, you know, Hitler today and about the Jews and all this stuff. It's like, you know, I just don't understand why he has to be canceled for it. No one has to like it. No one has to agree with it. But if you look at the way that rap culture, you know, it's a culture problem. I agree with you. It's not a religion problem. It's a culture problem largely. And I think that's what he's trying to point out. But it's like, if, you know, like look at rap culture, actually. There is just 24/7 for decades on end. It's, you know, N-word. They call each other N-words and B-words. Their women are all B-words. The men are all N-words. And it has actually, and it's violent and it's highly pornographic in many cases. And, you know,
and what's sad is that it wasn't when it started, right? When it came out of the South Bronx, it was uplifting. It was positive. It was do more for your community. It was white lines, you know, don't do it. It was all good stuff. And then it got popular. And then we had to ruin it with what came out of L.A., right? Snoop Dogg, Ice-T, Ice Cube. That whole West Coast gangster rap thing absolutely destroyed the entire positive, uplifting trajectory that rap was on.
And there's ample evidence that our federal services provoked that, that our Central Intelligence Agency and FBI's had a hand in promoting that culture.
Oh, yeah. Just like FBI was pumping the Black Panthers.
Right. Exactly.
Back in the 60s. So, yeah.
So what they did right there, between what they did to our African-American culture with Planned Parenthood and its origins and the amount of Black babies that have not been born, and then with that, with the culture disruption, and then the drug war that was hand in hand with the culture disruption,
they killed Malcolm because Malcolm went over to Mecca and saw blonde haired, blue eyed Muslims and realized, oh, wait a second. Hold up.
Yep.
They're not white devils.
Yep.
Our good friend exactly. in Chicago is not an actual Muslim. Don Muhammad is not a real Muslim. He's a race hustler. Right. And what happens? So, he comes back and he starts spreading the message of love and harmony, and they shoot him dead.
Right. So, you know, I regardless of what anyone thinks of, you know, what Kanye is saying, and I think he is trolling to an extent, because he's trying to make the point that why is it that I can be that someone, you know, even me, Mr. Billionaire, can be canceled, you know, have my bank accounts taken away, be treated like those same freedom fighters in Canada for criticizing a group of people. And you may not like it, but it is freedom of speech. And look at the way that the culture has weaponized Black folks against each other. Rappers are getting shot every time they put an Instagram post up while they're wearing a gold chain, you know, and it's like that they're it's just amazing to me that this, you know, that we live in a world where First Amendment can be disrupted for certain protected groups of people. If someone wants to espouse something that they know people aren't going to like, but it's how they feel or it's what they're presenting for whatever purpose they have, they should be able to do that. You know, sticks and stones.
I want to pick up that First Amendment after the break. You're listening to TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
The phony climate war is going to be causing actual misery. It's already started to cause misery, of course. Just take a look at your pocketbook. I'm not just talking in the United States. I'm talking everywhere. But now that winter is coming, the same early winter that we've been talking about for over 3 months. So when the climate alarmists and phony climate warriors start blaming climate change for it, they say, well, wait a minute. What did that Neanderthal know-nothing, the climate-denying guy, Joe Bastardi, how did he know this a few months ago? Isn't that special? But here is the problem, folks. The problem is you are not going to win this phony climate war with this tit-for-tat stuff. In 2 or 3 weeks, this is going to probably be big news across the globe. And of course, they'll say one thing and we'll say another thing. The way to do it is to get way out in front of it and set the trap for them, so when it comes, you could say, you didn't know it, you weren't paying attention. This is meteorologist and TNT climate and weather watchdog, Joe Bastardi, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Lowe, long jump gold medalist and world record holder. When I was 15, I was waiting to catch my train. In a split second, my life changed. As the train arrived, the crowd surged forward. I was too close to the platform edge, lost my balance, and fell into the path of the oncoming train. I was in a coma for 2 weeks, and it took 2 years to walk again. So please, stand back, look up, and stay rail safe.
If you're talking about it,
what is going on the border today is different than it's ever been.
We're talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hey, Brian, I don't know if you saw Matt Walsh. If I had a dinner party and I could invite, you know, anybody living, Matt Walsh would have a seat at the table, right? Because I love his mind. He and I are simpatico on so many issues, but he thinks things through, which is extremely rare these days. So many people are just, bam, hot take, reaction, and they don't really stop to analyze. He had a great little bit today about Graham Hancock, and Graham is a guy I like a lot of the stuff he says. I disagree with a lot of the stuff he says. I mean, he did a fantastic analysis of the Sphinx in Egypt. And, you know, the proof of the pudding is in the eating, right? If Graham Hancock was wrong about the Sphinx being older than it is, and what led him to that conclusion was evidence of water erosion, not air erosion, but water erosion on the Sphinx, right? But Egypt's been desert for 5,000 years, so where'd the water come from? Well, why would Egypt be covering up the Sphinx with bricks? They're bricking over the surface. They're resurfacing it, right? So if he's wrong, why are they covering up the evidence of the water erosion? If he's wrong, you know, what he did is he took photos of the sides of the Sphinx and the sides of the, it was a big chunk of rock, and they carved out the sculpture by digging out this big basin, right? They took the rock away is how they carved the Sphinx. And it sits in like this little bathtub of rock that they dug through to make the statue. And so he took photos of the edge of the basin and took photos of the sides of the Sphinx and cropped them so that you could just see the rocks. You couldn't see what it was, and brought them to some prominent geologists and said, "What do you see?" "Oh, well, clearly that's limestone that's suffered water erosion." And then he'd take the cropping off and they'd see it was the Sphinx. And the guy'd be just like, "Oh." Because he knew instantly that it just broke the narrative, right? So I think he's right about the Sphinx. I think he's right about a lot of things. He's got a new series on Netflix. It's blowing up Netflix right now. It's called Ancient Apocalypse. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. You know, some of it's really interesting. Like, it's amazing to me. How was the Great Pyramid made? Because it's not a tetrahedron, right? It's actually eight-sided. Each side of the Great Pyramid of Giza angles in. And so if you see it at sunset, you can see the shadow. And the lines are perfect. I mean, this thing is square to within inches. It is oriented toward magnetic north. Magnetic north. By 0.001 degrees. And how did they do this if the only measuring device they had was sticks and strings, right? That's how they leveled the things, is with sticks and strings. And how did they get the granite that formed the central chamber from 500 miles upriver? How did they get that there? How'd they move these massive blocks? I think there's a lot of unanswered questions. I don't know that I agree with his conclusions, but he's certainly asking the right questions. And that's what Matt said. He said, "I really enjoyed this series. I disagree with his conclusions, but it was entertaining, and I'm glad that he's able to say those things." And then he used that as a launching off point to say, "You see, folks, it's not that hard a concept to understand. You can disagree with someone's conclusions and still like them. You can disagree with what someone says and still be glad that they said it." He said, "People are talking about ancient archaeology now when they weren't talking about ancient archaeology 5 minutes ago. Is that not a good thing? So what if his conclusions you disagree with? It's great that, you know," and that's always been my argument. And the First Amendment is not absolute. Freedom of speech is not absolute. It can be regulated. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater if there's no fire. There's case law that says the Moonies can't accost you at the airport, but they've got to be given a certain space. Now, the state's taken that to extremes, and so at a presidential convention or a national party convention, the protest area is like 17 blocks away from the arena hall in the hotel, so nobody even knows the protest is going on. So I think that's a little too far in the other extreme. But my remedy for speech you don't like is more speech. You know, if the Nazis are marching down the parade route in Skokie, Illinois, which is heavily Jewish, get out on the sidewalk and heckle them. Don't prohibit them from marching. get out on the sidewalk and heckle them. More speech, not less speech.
Yeah. And show us, you know, if they want to do that, fine. You know, if they want to go out there and tweet beforehand and say, hey, we're going to go burn down these people's houses. That's another matter. You know, that's not protected speech. That's all kind of bad, but.
Well,
know,
unless so they're Antifa, it's protected if they're Antifa.
Yeah, then it's okay. Then it's okay. Right.
Those are mostly peaceful tweets.
Right. Mostly peaceful. Exactly. Yes. Yes. Viva la revolucion and all that good stuff, you know, that the Fortune 100 and your corrupt politicians promoted. Yes. But yeah, exactly right. You know, and with regards to Graham Hancock, I'm glad this is blowing up. And I really like the way that that Matt Walsh, you know, use that as a good example. And the same goes for Kanye, you know, and so many people are going to watch the 10 second clip of what Kanye said on Twitter. And that's it. They're done. Whereas I watched it and I was like, I need that in context. I need to watch the entire thing so that I know what I'm looking at. And it was a completely different experience watching the, you know, 30 second clip as opposed to watching the 56 minute full thing in its entirety. And yeah, there were some things that were inflammatory, some things I don't agree with, some people that I find questionable, you know, but for what it was, for what Kanye did there, he said a lot of things that I think were very important to be said about the entertainment industry, about the fashion industry, about the New World Order, about how to come at things with a more positive attitude, you know, with proper values. And, you know, like, here's another good thing he did that I thought was interesting. They asked him about the Balenciaga thing and he completely leapfrogged it. And he said, look, I don't want to talk about Balenciaga. He said, look, so many people in this country are watching pornography or being in pornography or promoting like all these things. And he's like, all of this stuff, all of it, he said, all of it is, you know, against the word of God, and all of it leads to a degradation of society, and all of it is adjacent to pedophilia, because most of the women that are in these films are women that are had experienced pedophilia, and that's how they end up in it. You know what I mean? So it was like,
or abused somehow. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Abused. Exactly.
If they're not actively being trafficked. Yeah. If they're not actively being trafficked. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, well, and he talked,
I love the fact, I wish I could see it on Twitter, right? So I appealed a 12-hour suspension for a hateful tweet. My tweet wasn't hateful. It was factual. Some guy was trying to gaslight people by saying that the porn on Hunter's laptop wasn't Hunter's porn. And he said to a guy, he commented on a tweet and saying, oh, so if you forget your laptop at a repair shop, that's going to be quote unquote your porn on the laptop. And I replied, not his porn, dude. They were selfie videos of him naked smoking crack or meth whilst getting a footy from a whore.
Uh-huh.
What do you mean not his porn? So that gets banned for hateful and abusive speech. It was like, it wasn't hateful or abusive. It was factual. But because I appealed it, Hesher, instead of a 12-hour ban, I'm banned until they review my appeal. And there's nobody there to review the appeal, so I can't get on Twitter now. But so please, Elon Free, at Real Patriot TV, at Tim62, and at MAGA Institute, all three of my accounts now are in your gulag. Let them go. Let my people go. Let my Twitter accounts go.
Free the Twitter accounts. I know.
Free
I know.
Tim62.
Well, hey, at least he locked out all the blue-haired activists from the server room and the admin consoles and made sure he didn't have any of those looking to, you know, maybe that's what the holdup is. They haven't restocked the review department yet with nonpartisan people.
You know what I love about Kanye, though? Do you see what he did today? He let Alex Jones use his phone to tweet Elon a message.
That was hilarious. Yeah. See, there were some low points in the talk, but there were some big high points too. I mean, it was a wild roller coaster. I mean, I don't watch Jones. I do not watch him religiously or hardly ever at all. But I have been tracking Ye And when I saw that, I was like, all right, I gotta see what everybody's freaking out about. And yeah, that was a highlight right there.
Yeah, I'm going to have to find it again off Twitter because I can't see it on Twitter. What did you think of the whole Tim Pool thing? I thought Tim was a real dick.
Oh, Tim was terrible. And, you know, that's what I mean by like this. This is kind of like creating a bit of a bifurcation in what might be considered by, you know, normal viewers as the alternative media, because people like Tim Pool, they have a lot invested in their branding right now and their YouTube platforms and all these things. And they really are showing that, hey, you know, we might be a little bit more mainstream than you might have thought we were, because we're going to, you know, try to make sure that our shield, the number one priority was to get Kanye on the show for the clicks. Number two priority was to have his whole, like, and Lex Fridman did sort of a similar thing with Kanye, where it was like, they think they're going to fix him or get him to back down or get him to admit he shouldn't say this or that, or virtue signal that they would never say this or that, rather than just let him talk and let the audience make up their own mind about what he's saying. And, you know, I don't normally do this very often, but my hat's somewhat off, half off to Alex Jones today, because Alex did that. He let Ye say what he needed to say. And
well, he also wasn't a dick to him. Tim Pool was a real jerk.
He was a total jerk. I mean, that was a bad look on Tim Pool. And even a lot of mainstream YouTubers called him out on it. Like that guy, the Officer Tatum, like he had a really what I thought was a thoughtful take on the way that Tim Pool behaved there and how people can look at what Ye is trying to say and maybe, like, you know, give him a little bit of leeway and another lens with which to view some of the more inflammatory things that he's saying about Jewish people. And he said, you know, he kind of said exactly what I was thinking, which was, look what the rap culture has brought us. You know, this isn't about, you know, hating Jews or anything like that. It's about hating aspects of culture that have been corrupted, you know? So, you know, even to mainstream YouTube channels like the Officer Tatum, you know, they're calling out Tim Pool on that.
And it's good to see, because, yeah, I don't think there's any, benefit. It doesn't make you look good, right? If you're rude to your guests. It doesn't advance your cause at all. It doesn't show your guest any respect and let them say what they want to say. And ultimately, I don't think it's going to help your efforts, because people are going to look at the good things you do and the good things you do say in that context and just be dismissive of you. People are so easily dismissive these days, Hesher. You say one thing you don't like, and, you know, and it's as bad on the right as it is on the left, I'll tell you that. Somebody could be rock solid, and then they do one thing that's a little bit, and all of a sudden everybody's, oh, I always knew he was a POS.
Yeah, that's a struggle. You know, and COVID, there are many silver linings to the COVID experience, and that is one of them for me. Is like, I've even been that way before, where it's like somebody would step on a topic that I have a different opinion of or whatever, and I would shut down and be a little bit judgmental about it, you know. But then when COVID came along, it was like, oh my God, this is actually here. This is actually happening. This could be the end of our culture and our society right now. Like, this is the catalyst. And I'm one of the people that understands to a great extent just how troublesome and dangerous the mainstream media is. And, you know, myself and my colleagues, and, you know, at ACR and TNT were the people that were poised to help break that down and help, you know, break through those walls of propaganda. And when that happened, it became so important to me that I started looking to my left and looking to my right and looking up and looking down and just forgiving people, you know, forgiving as many people as I possibly could if they were on the same page or a similar page, you know, one of freedom, one of liberty, one of preserving what this country was supposed to be, and fighting back against, you know, this globalist tyranny. So I have a much wider opening in my door these days than I used to. And I agree, it's a great way to lose listeners to, you know, slag off your guest. I get guests I don't agree with quite often. I prefer to ask questions instead of, you know, shame them or down talk them or whatever. I just want to understand where the common ground is.
And it's funny how much you can learn if you just ask questions. Folks, that's Brian McLean. We call him Hesher. You can see him right here on TNT Radio. Thanks, Hesher. Have a good one.